I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will watch over your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The Lord will watch over transitions. I'm not sure about this, but that passage, Psalm 121, may be the most important passages in the Bible for me and for our family. It was originally a part of the hymn book of the Jerusalem Temple community, and its primary purpose was as a song of dismissal. When the pilgrims came to the temple for worship, this was the closing hymn, and a prayer that the Lord would watch over. You're going out from here, and the next time you come in, from this time forth and forevermore. I use it in my ministry as a scripture passage read at transition worship events. We've used it at the baptism of our grandchildren. We've used it at funerals, both in our family and in our congregation. It was the only passage from scripture that was read at our wedding. It signifies a sentiment that is important for people to hold on to in times of transition, high drama, those moments in life when everything that went before is now different because of this, for better and for worse. But it occurs to me that transitions are not just moments in time that are marked by significant events of gain or loss. We're all kind of in a state of emotional transition pretty much all the time. And part of what makes us who we are is how we have evolved through transitional phases in our lives, what we've learned from them, and how we share those learnings with others. So I want to talk a little bit about emotional transitions and what goes out emotionally and what comes in emotionally in exchange, and how the Lord watches over the process, actually the process of our entire lives, not just the moments of high drama, high sorrow, and great joy. I think of the going out of illusion and the coming in of vocation. If you're 4 years old and somebody asks you what you want to be when you grow up, you generally have a sort of wide-eyed illusion that probably never fully pans out. I was going to be a fireman when I was four, and I still like going past firehouses. And that didn't become my lot in life. I'm very grateful it has for some. And I think of first responders a lot, people that are willing to go in when the rest of us are trying to get out. Most 5- and 6-year-olds see and feel their illusions dimmed some about the time they get to school. You know what? You're probably just not cut out for that. We have standardized tests to prove it, as it were. For a long time, starting in about 8th grade, in fact, I wrote a career book on this and interviewed our family doctor all about it. I was going to be a physician. And that lasted for quite a while until I was about a junior in college when my 4th or 5th attempt to major in something scientific pretty much went out the window. Tried biology, microbiology, chemistry, biochemistry. And about midway through junior year, I hit the oxidation reduction equation, which I don't think any human being can fully understand. And that was the end of that illusion. Well, illusion gives way ultimately to vocation. And even moving into the ministry for me has been an evolving process. The day I was ordained, I imagined that now, 31 years later, I'd have the biggest, baddest, whiz-bangin'est church there ever was. And that's come true. The whole process has evolved as what seemed needed doing that I could do began to come together. I did not imagine myself a college professor. I do like college. But it's a matter of paying attention and watching the illusions fade some and being attentive to the vision that comes from that. Where what the world needs matches what you seem to be able to keep doing, that's vocation. And it does evolve. You know, sometimes we keep the same labels, but sometimes the form in which that occurs changes very dramatically. Teacher, musician, physician, all of the labels take different forms. And the Lord watches over the emotional content of that, where illusion gives way to vocation. Secondly, it's an emotional transition where, in many regards, physical strength gives way to wisdom. I remember learning on my first day of high school that all athletes on high school athletic teams didn't have to take gym class, and I didn't much like gym class. I thought, well, that's a cool trade-off, and the two fall sports were football and cross-country. Football would have been fatal. Cross-country, I thought, hey, you know what? I don't have to take gym if I go out for cross-country. That sounds like a smart idea. First night of cross-country practice was 9 miles. A lot tougher than gym class. But nonetheless, and that was at that point, that for many reasons, to sort of channel a competitive drive and fitness, running's become a part of my life. Of all the things that I like in sports, that's been among the most consistent. And I still, you know, try to make it more or less every day a 3 mile run of sorts. I've noticed in the last year or so, probably the last couple of years, that I've kind of lost about a minute a mile. And I thought, well, maybe it's just the heat. And yesterday I was smart enough to run indoors at the rec center and timed it, and it's not the heat. This hit me the other day. I was doing my 3 miles around the lake in front of our house, and some guy who was about 30 years younger than me was just sailed by me. And I mean, I'm at the point now where glaciers kind of win, but I'm thinking that was me 30 years ago sailing past guys running as fast as I am, wondering what they were doing there. Because I know enough, I know the length of the lap, and I figured out that this guy was running at about a 7.5 minute pace. And my goal in life when I was, 30 years younger than I am now, was to run 5 or 6, even ran a half marathon once, at about a 7 or 8 minute pace. And I'm thinking, you know what, I am not that strong. I will never be that strong again. It's been, the strength has been going in increments for a long time. And then you have to say to yourself, well, what are you doing this for? Are you trying to do what just keeps you neurotic about that hyper-competitive bone in your body that you will even compete with yourself and then hate yourself for losing a game with yourself? What is the deal here? Well, it gives way to wisdom. And, some of you know this. I use that time, as does everybody. Everybody's got something they do to sort of process their world and try to make some sense out of things. I actually spend that time doing as much as anything, figuring out what I'm going to use this time for. It's sort of like sermon research, which makes me wonder if my running shoes are tax deductible. But I'll have to figure that out later. But the point is, what is it that you're doing this for is an evolving question. And the process at least has led me to a level of serenity where it really doesn't matter how long it takes to run that 3 miles or whether I'll ever again run a half marathon. It's simply a part of my life that helps me nominally through fitness, but it really is good for my head. And whatever it is that any of us do, it's an evolving process that I really believe the Lord watches over. Sometimes when I become, having an agnostic week or so, and there's just nothing that's occurring to me to talk about on Sunday, and it's now Saturday afternoon, and a 3 mile run later, it's all in place. Well, that's how it's supposed to work. So strength gives way to wisdom, secondly. I think also, our lives are characterized by equal mixes of joy and sorrow. And sorrow especially goes out of us, sometimes very literally, through tears and conversation. And what comes back in, ultimately, coping, hoping, and ultimately, empathy. The Lord will watch over your going out and your coming in. Well, this loops us back to some of those major life transitions that cause us to experience great sorrow, where literally the sounds of sorrow come forth. I've been doing this here with all of you for almost 19 years, and there's no one in this room with whom I have not shared great joy and also great sorrow, and who has not with us shared the joys and sorrows that have come with, you know, the transitions in our own lives with the kids and the parents and so on. Well, that's apparently how it's supposed to work. And I have said to many of you, and have also said to myself, you know, this is difficult to get through. And you will only have to go through the first anniversary without him once. The first Christmas without her once. And it will be difficult. And shortly thereafter, you will say to yourself, how'd I do that? And then you'll figure it out. And that will help the next anniversary and the next Christmas and the next birthday. And then very shortly thereafter, you will become missionaries to the next person among us or in your life who is going through the first anniversary without her for the first time. That's how it works. That's how the Lord watches over our going out and our coming in. The Lord helps us in the transition from sorrow to hope. Hope which comes from figuring out how to cope. And by engaging the process of empathy with those who have been there before. That's how the body of Christ is built. That's how it's supposed to work. And we gain strength from the sharing, not just of the moments when sorrow comes out, but also tears of great joy, which also signify transitions that are in some ways ambiguous. You know, father of the bride, who has to sit down at some point with great joy, and also, you know, a catch in the throat. That's why this psalm, I think, is at the center of what occurs to me is the most important thing we can hold on to at any moment in our lives, whether it is at a pivotal moment of transition or just another step in the evolving process, moving from, among other things, illusion to vocation, strength to wisdom, and sorrow to empathy. The promise never fails, and it works out in ways that we are vividly aware of if we just stop for a second and look around the room. The Lord will watch over your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.